Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
844-477-3776 is the number. Final hour of the show. Matt Harrop filling in for Sturge here on ESPN Upstate. Our Twitter poll question, which has drawn some reaction on the text line, which I will get to Diesel on here in a second. Would South Carolina fans sacrifice every game the rest of the season if it guaranteed Will Muschamp would be fired? Yes, I want him gone. Right now on the Twitter poll, yes, I want him gone. No, I want my team to win. Yes, I want him gone. 46% of you on Twitter say yes, I would sacrifice every game the rest of the season. 54% of you say no, I want my team to win. All right, I'll go to Diesel now as he is reading the text line. What do we have on the text line there, Diesel?
Texter says, oh my God, you're as bad as that putz and antagonist Mark Ryan. Getting rid of Muschamp would be the most childish and immature emotional decision anyone could make at this point. Just to entertain the idea shows your lack of football acuity.
Whoa, he's
y'all need to grow up. Now, in 2 or 3 years, if things don't improve, we should revisit the idea.
All right, now, hold on.
He doesn't even think it's a bad idea.
Right.
He just thinks you're a putz.
Yeah, well, that's okay. I can be. Well, let me just say this. I would just wanted to throw out the question. I'm just taking the pulse of the fans. If you want to call me up, that's fine. You can call me whatever you want. I don't have an opinion really on this. I really want your opinion. You can call the show 844-477-3776. I'm not a South Carolina Gamecocks fan. I'm not a Clemson Tigers fan. I'm a neutral party here. Okay. I'm your psychologist. You tell me how you want to fix this. Team's 1-3. All right. Do you want to make that emotional reaction? I actually agree with the guy. I want to give him credit. Who's the guy who called me a putz? What's his name?
It doesn't say. It's just a text line.
Okay. Thank you for bringing that up. I really do appreciate that because no, I'm serious. You call me any name of the book because I do think that that kind of reaction is emotional. To fire Will Muschamp right now is an emotional reaction. And I said at the top of the show, and Diesel will confirm this for the guy who's calling me a putz, which is, again, it's just fine. I said at the top of the show that I always, always, always lean towards not firing a coach because I do think that it is a very gut and instinctual and easy to do thing following a loss and a slow start to the season. I also said at the top of the show that I think it is not something to do if you do not have a replacement. You do not want to leave a job. I said this, and I will repeat it for our new audience here. I right now am filling in on this show. I have a day job that I do not like, and it's nothing against this job at all, okay? But during the day, for the most part, I sell electricity plants, okay? I'm a salesman. Do I like this job? No. Am I going to leave this job? No. Why? Because I don't have anything lined up. I don't have a plan. Okay, so I have to stay at this job until I find something else. That's kind of how I look at the South Carolina football situation. And especially with the buyout. I am not sitting here on the radio, guy who called me a putz. I'm not sitting here and calling on the radio and saying, fire Will Muschamp. That's not what I'm saying. I'm taking the pulse of the fan base when I throw out the question, would you, as a South Carolina Gamecock fan, be willing to sacrifice every single game for the rest of the year if it guaranteed Will Muschamp will be fired? And Diesel, the reason why I threw out this question is because I wanted to see how fired up Gamecocks fans were at what's going on right now. 1-3 start. Recruiting class is good. Ryan Helitzky, what's he going to be? And then we get last week against Missouri, where it was absolutely atrocious. The offensive line couldn't protect Helitzky. Helitzky was incredibly inaccurate. Defense absolutely terrible with a defensive-minded coach. I think it's a fair question to throw out because we're talking about the concept of tanking. In professional sports, I am a New York Giants fan. I'm from the Northeast. And right now, I am honestly telling you, and this is just me as a Giants fan, I'm not telling you this how you should feel as a Gamecocks fan. I'm telling you how I feel as a Giants fan. Because Saquon Barkley is out for the next 4 to 6 weeks or whatever it is, I do not want the Giants to win any more games. It's tough. It's horrible. I literally told my girlfriend, I said, when they play the Cowboys week one, this is it. This is my season. This is the one game I can get excited about. Because if they win, then okay, all right, we can like move on to game number two. But if they lose, as they did, 35-14, like I expected them to lose, then I could start this, okay, we're just going to look for draft picks mindset now. You know, I'm a broken man as a Giants fan. I am. I'm a broken man. I'm not telling you to be a broken man, woman, child, whatever, as a Gamecocks fan. I just do think it is a realistic scenario and a logical thought to have that you do want to lose games if it guarantees one thing. Professional sports, if it guarantees you a high draft pick, I do think tanking has worked for teams in sports.
Well, Matt, this is a topic, or this is a take you brought up earlier in the show. You can tank in NFL, in professional sports, because typically when you're the worst team in the league, you get a higher chance of earning the top draft pick. But in college football, it's so much more built on relationships with coaches. And you add in instability. I mean, I guarantee you almost none of these kids are lining up to play for South Carolina because they are diehard, lifelong, true garnet and black, as hardcore as it gets, South Carolina fans. No, that's not why kids sign with schools. They sign with schools because of a coach, right, and their best opportunity to play. So you add instability at this point by losing every game. First of all, you got kids saying, I want to go to a school and win. I'm decommitting. And then you got kids who said, well, I know they're kind of meh, but I really like the position coach that recruited me. Well, what happens? Are they going to go too? You just don't know. And honestly, I'm surprised more fans, though. That's why I say you can't fire Will Muschamp, because you do that now, you just throw a monkey wrench and you might as well blow up your recruiting for the next two seasons, and that puts you in an even deeper hole than you're in already.
Let me ask you a question, because you are there, okay? Do you think they would lose a guy like Ryan Helinski if Will Muschamp was fired?
I don't know who recruited Helinski. I don't know if it was Will Muschamp personally that recruited him. If it was, then yes. If it wasn't, then I don't know. I don't know where else he had really good, strong relationships with.
Yeah.
Because college football is so much more personal than NFL. In NFL, it's like, where can I go and get playing time and get bonuses and make the most money? That's all that matters. Honestly, though, on the flip side of that argument, the reason why I'm surprised that more fans didn't say that they want to tank to get rid of Will Muschamp right now is because they just saw an interim head coach become easily one of the top two football coaches in college football, right up the road. Dabo Sweeney, if anybody remembers, was an interim head coach.
Yeah.
He was already on the staff. Now, who knows what they would do with South Carolina? Would they go to somebody who's already on the staff and try to maintain a whole lot of continuity? If the whole idea was, we're just going to fire Will Muschamp and we're going to leave everybody else in place where they already are, then you might be able to do it. But it's so often in college football that you clean house.
I wonder if firing Will Muschamp would that mean, okay, we are claiming him as the scapegoat? Because again, as I was talking about earlier in the show, going off of what you're talking about here, I don't believe that when you are having a 1-3 season and you're every part of the team is bad, it is not just on the head coach. So to me, firing the coach right now at this point, let's say that they lose to Kentucky this coming weekend, they're like, okay, we're done, we're pulling the plug. I do think that would be a scapegoat move. It's not what's happening with South Carolina football right now is not just all the coach. Again, you just have to look to last week. Okay, I don't believe that the offensive line not being able to protect Helinski is entirely on Muschamp. I do not believe that Helinski throwing inaccurate passes, what was he, 4-15 in the first half? Is that on all? Is that entirely all on Coach Muschamp? I don't believe so. Okay, is them not being able to run the football all on the coach? What I'm saying is, when you have a start like this and you do decide to pull the trigger on your head coach, that's a scapegoat move. It's not a, okay, we're going to find a target. We're going to settle the fans down. We're going to get going with something else. We're going to start the process of moving on. But we're not going to, I don't believe that we can sell the fan base that this is the entire reason why the season has gone the way it has gone. That to me would be a scapegoat move. But again, I do find it interesting, the results of this poll. You can always call in and talk about this, 844-477-3776. Coming up next, ESPN has rankings out on probability to get to the college football playoff. We will discuss that when we return on Straight Up with Sturge. I'm Matt Harrod filling in on ESPN Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back into the show. 844-477-3776, the number. If you'd like to hop in at any point, 844-GSP-ESPN. We do have a Thursday night football game in the NFL. Tonight, Philadelphia Eagles are going to be taking on the Green Bay Packers. As week number four is underway now. Eagles, tough start, injuries, DeSean Jackson, Alshon Jeffrey. I don't even know if both of those guys are back yet, but the Packers' defense is absolutely incredible right now. The two teams in the NFL whose defense, I can't say they've surprised me, but they're definitely overachieving, I guess is the best way to put it. Packers and Patriots. Have the Patriots given up a touchdown yet this year? I don't believe so. New England and Green Bay have just been incredible. So that's our Thursday nighter tonight, Eagles and Packers. I want to get into this because we do have a college football percentage chance to get into the college football playoffs. And let's hit the music here, Diesel, as we have new rankings are out for ESPN. Sure, we have our top 25 poll, but what percentage chance do each of these teams have to make the college football playoff? Now, it is quite clear at the top. Okay, at the top, we have Clemson and Alabama. Diesel, would you like to take a guess? The percentage chance that the Clemson Tigers have to make the college football playoffs? Go ahead, take a guess.
70%.
Higher.
80%.
Lower.
74%.
Higher. Oh, not enough guesses. 76%. There's a 76% chance, according to ESPN, that the Clemson Tigers are going to make the playoffs. Just a 25% chance that they will win the title. Alabama right now sits at 71% to make the playoffs, 29% to win the title. This is according to a poll by ESPN. Now, here is what I do like about the college football season this year. I think that there is I am a fan of parity. I want things to be close. I don't want to have a foregone conclusion at the beginning of a season what's going to happen. It's always been my problem with Kevin Durant's decision going to the Golden State Warriors in the NBA. I understood it from Kevin Durant's point of view because he just said, I want to win. But what it did was it just separated the league so much between the Warriors and everybody else that just Golden State just went on to win title after title. Okay, now in college football, it was like this last year. Clemson and Alabama, 76% chance, 71% chance for Alabama. Now, if you look at the next team, the percentage chance to make the playoffs, I like it because it's not a drastic drop from 71% to Alabama. Diesel, do you want to take a guess what ESPN has for Ohio State, their chances of making the college football playoff? And I just gave you the hint there. It's not a gigantic drop.
64%.
59%. Which I still think is relatively, it's a large margin. Like 71 to 59, we're still talking about a 12% difference, but I feel like last year at this time, it was even more defined that Clemson and Alabama were the top two teams in college football, and then you have everybody else. And we asked Steve Lassen this in the first hour, what is tier one? He said Clemson and Alabama. Georgia coming in on this list at 47% chance to make the playoffs. Diesel, you're the big college football fan between the two of us. I will ask you, Is it clear to you, the tier one, if I'm doing tier one, tier two, tier three, that in college football right now, it's Clemson and Alabama at the top? Would you throw another team in there, or is it those two, and then we have everybody else, we can start going tier two, tier three?
No, you have to start winning titles to be a tier one team.
Okay. No, well, hold on. Now, I disagree with that, all right? I am not someone who's going to look at the past when we're talking about the present. All right, so let's look at the current teams right now and say, all right, the way that they're constructed, are they a tier one team? Let's forget about Georgia's history and Ohio State's history. Do you think talent-wise right now they're on that tier one level?
No, I don't. I mean, they're close to it. They're right on that edge. But again, you have to win titles to be a tier one program.
You really think history means that much?
No, it just means you have to have won titles in the last 3 years to be a tier one program.
I'm talking about a tier one team right now. We're having a miscommunication here because I'm just saying right now, this year, if we're just looking at this year, it has not, in my opinion, maybe we just have a difference on philosophy here. In my opinion, I don't think you can look at previous years and say, oh, because Georgia hasn't won the title, because Ohio State, Oklahoma, LSU hasn't won the title, they cannot be considered a tier one team for this year. And I know it's hard because these teams have not like played great teams yet. You know, like we've had like maybe one premier matchup for each squad, but I just don't understand that mindset that we have to look at history to determine if a team this year is in that tier one.
Okay, I really don't know what you're asking me. I mean, are you saying as a talent team this year, not
yes.
as a program? Because you said a tier one program.
I said, okay, a tier one team this year in terms of talent. That's my question.
It's hard to say with only four games under their belts.
Yeah, maybe that was my bet. That was my bet on that.
Again, I'm a show me guy. You got to have results. If you don't have, and in 4 weeks, we haven't seen enough to know because, I mean, most of these guys have been beaten up on Sisters of the Poor.
Right.
So what difference does it make?
Yeah, LSU coming in at 33%. Oklahoma is 37% right now, chance to make the playoffs. And then you have teams all the way down like Auburn and Notre Dame. Wisconsin is a team at 20%. Is there a team that you like, Diesel, that is kind of – okay, we have Clemson and Alabama clearly at the top. But who is your third-ranked team right now in college football?
Probably an LSU or a Georgia.
LSU, is it fair of me to say that I haven't, and you were just saying like where it's a show me kind of situation. LSU in the past has not shown us anything offensively. This is brand new, and I know I just said I'm all over the place when I said okay, we can't look at the past. So let's look at the present. What we have with our sample size of LSU, is it a legitimate concern for me to say okay, LSU, we've got a small sample size of Joe Burrow, but now we have film on Joe Burrow. We have film on what this LSU offense is going to be, that they could be slowed down as we come down in the later parts of the season.
Well, we'll just have to wait and see, won't we?
Yeah. I guess we will have to wait and see. I think it's just going to be interesting to see as we go down the stretch here with Clemson at 76%, 71%. All right, I want to get to something that you were talking about before the show with De'Arik King. De'Arik King with the University of Houston has done something that probably surprised a whole bunch of us. He said that he is going to redshirt. After four games, he is giving up on the season, and he is going to redshirt, which is going to make him eligible to transfer coming up next year. And he is going to, he has said, though, that he would like to stay at the University of Houston. Now, do we actually believe him? We're just going to have to wait and see. But you were bringing up the question before the show, Diesel, of is this ethical? Is that we bring up this thing of is college football a business? Is this a team thing? Where are you on the De'Arik King situation?
I don't like it because he's quitting on his team. He's quitting on his 2019 team. And what's to stop all the other seniors on the team from saying, you know what, let's just come back let's forget this year. We'll put the second stringers in for the remainder of the season, and we're all going to take this year off and come back and play better in 2020. What's to stop that from happening? I'm honestly surprised. You know, De'Arik King hasn't convinced one or two of his best friends on the team who happen to be seniors to do the same thing.
I think this is going to become a more relevant thing as we move forward with De'Aaron King. And I heard Joey Galloway talking about this, and I'm not sure what Mark Ryan said, because Mark obviously with his Houston background. But, you know, De'Aaron King doing this now, you know, he's kind of exploiting the rule, right? This was meant for freshmen, and he's kind of taking advantage of the situation. But I do think it's okay to be selfish when you're a superstar in sports, specifically in college football, when you are trying to promote yourself, when you are trying to be the brand. What I think was going to happen, and eventually we're going to see more of this moving forward, stuff like that De'Aaron King is doing, I think we're going to see more of like one and done quarterbacks. We're seeing it right now with Oklahoma, with Jalen Hurts being a graduate transfer going over and playing for Oklahoma for a year. Would it surprise you in the slightest? It would not surprise me at all if De'Aaron King says, okay, I want out at the end of this year, and I want to go to like an Oklahoma. There's going to be an open spot for the Oklahoma Sooners next year, a quarterback, when Jalen Hurts does in fact go. Now, they do have a couple of guys in the wings, but I don't think that it's out of the realm of possibility for De'Aaron King, a guy like him, to be able to say, all right, well, look, it's not happening here. And I do think he is quitting on his team. There's just no way ifs, ands, or buts about it. He is quitting on his team. But I do think that he might be looking at a situation like Jalen Hurts was and saying, okay, well, I can just go and play for Oklahoma. Why wouldn't any quarterback in the country want to go and play for Oklahoma and Lincoln Riley? Look at what Lincoln Riley has been able to produce. Obviously, with Baker Mayfield 2 years ago, going and getting and being the number one overall pick, a Heisman Trophy winner, Cleveland Browns now he's struggling to start the season, but there's no question that was a Lincoln Riley product. Kyler Murray going and being the number one pick, leaving baseball and choosing to go to the NFL, and he gets drafted by the Arizona Cardinals, number one overall. That is the biggest, that is the most the most attractive place to go if you are a quarterback right now is the Oklahoma Sooners. And I think that, you know, in college sports, specifically in college basketball, we've had people criticize the one and done, right? And people generally do not like the University of Kentucky, unless, of course, you're in Lexington. The University of Kentucky and John Calipari have been heavily criticized for being this one and done type school. I do believe we're going to see situations like that now in college football, where we have a one and done situation. When I say one and done, I mean, okay, we're going to test it out. We're going to go four games and then see. And then, all right, that's it. We're going to go to a situation where I can be a graduate transfer at maybe in Oklahoma. But I struggle with this situation, Diesel. Should De'Aaron King have done what he did? Because I do think star athletes in college sports should be selfish because they aren't getting paid. And that's a separate discussion to begin with. They are not allowed to promote their own brand and earn money in the way that they could earn money if, in fact, the college sports allowed them to do that. But De'Aaron King is saying to himself, I'm not seeing it work right now. Let's just get a fresh start and start over next year. I find it hard to believe him, though. Dana Holgorsen has said that he and De'Aaron King are on really good terms. They really do believe in each other. De'Aaron King believes in the program. And I also do think that there's something to De'Aaron King wanting to play with Dana Holgorsen's recruits. Dana Holgorsen coming in, he's his first season as head coach. He's had a great year, by the way. King, that's why Houston fans specifically are struggling with this. He's thrown for 663 yards, 6 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He's great on the ground. He broke Tim Tebow's record for the most consecutive games with a passing and rushing touchdown. I mean, Holgorsen ran a great offense at West Virginia. Now, defense obviously was a separate discussion, but I would think that if I'm a quarterback, I would want to play in a Dana Holgorsen-led offense. But I do think that it is a thing, and we've been talking about this with South Carolina as well. It is a thing that you have to get your recruits in. If you're a new coach, you got to get your recruits in for your leaders to start to really buy in on if this is actually going to work. And so De'Aaron King, we're going to just see. Right now we have to take his word for it and say that he is going to come back. But I don't think that it is out of the realm of possibility, and Houston Cougar fans have to really start bracing themselves for the fact that he is not going to go back, and he's going to look at an Oklahoma.
We used to look at a lot of college athletes, especially the, you know, senior quarterbacks or stars, when the cupboard is left relatively bare. They had maybe had a great season last year, but a lot of the talent graduated or somebody got hurt or the coach left. And we used to just say, oh, well, them's the breaks. Sucks for you. Your coach left, or your star quarterback left, or whatever it may be. Or, you know, you graduated all your talent. Now you're a star among a bunch of dopes. Well, kids today are learning that doesn't have to be the case.
Yeah.
You know, you can up and take off.
Do you like that rule? Do you like the rule? Like, just honestly, in general, do you? I mean, I went to a conference.
The four-game rule or the transfer portal?
Well, both. I was actually going to ask you about both because I was going to talk to you. I went to a conference that was discussing the transfer portal and just how it was very interesting hearing the points of view of the university where there is a risk involved. You know, for the athlete to put his name, you know, in the transfer portal, he could literally, if it doesn't work out the way that he wants it to work out, he could literally lose his scholarship, you know, where he currently is at. So there definitely is a risk if you do put your name in the transfer portal. It's to me, I like it just because it's a gamble on yourself. That's what it is. You're basically saying, okay, it's not working where I am now. I believe in myself. I believe that I can get recruited and go in a better situation. I personally love the transfer portal, but I'm not a big fan of this four-game rule. Where do you think? Where do you lie?
I don't like it. To me, it's another way to keep more players on a roster and to stockpile talent in a way that we never have before.
Yeah,
I think college football programs have way too much talent. They're not too, that's not the right way to say it. They have way too many players on their roster, and a lot of college football coaches, they know that they can take advantage of this rule. They know that they can sit a guy for an extra season and still have him. And I don't like it. You know, to me, it's a way of being greedy and stockpiling all the talent at a very small handful of schools.
I just want to read this quote here from this article. It said, you know, we're talking about tanking. I feel like that's been a theme of the show, tanking. Should South Carolina tank if they want to get rid of their head coach? That's been a theme of the show. So let me just read this paragraph here from the article. Wait, so is Houston tanking? Unlike in professional sports, of course, there are no draft picks to be gained by tanking. But are the Cougars hoping to save the final year of eligibility for King while giving Holgorsen an extra year to get his players and system into the program? With a long-term contract, and he has a long-term contract and 1-3 record to start. Holgorsen, is he already looking towards 2020? And he said he denied this. You know, he said, I can assure you that whoever is saying that was not at our practice last night, was not at our meetings on Sunday night. These coaches' meetings, we're going to go full force playing every game this weekend. So that to me is absolute nonsense. No one has any idea the relationship between King and Holgorsen. But let's keep in mind, though, that King is definitely saying, I am going to be coming back. It just took everybody by surprise here. What were Mark Ryan's thoughts on that? I didn't get to hear any of his shows. What was his opinion on this?
I didn't hear.
You didn't hear? I do think it's interesting, though, because we do this transfer portal is just something that is new, and I think it's an advantage to you as an athlete if you actually do truly believe in yourself and you can move on to a different situation. I'm all for making your life better. Okay, if you don't believe that your stock is going to be as high as it is right where you are, unless you go to another place, then fine, go to another place. But to bail on your team, I do understand both sides of this. To bail on your team, and I know I'm kind of walking a fence here, but if you bail on your team after four games, does that to me also questions character? Like if you're another school looking to bring him in, wouldn't you have to bring that into consideration? The fact that we're going to bring in a guy who actually did this, you know, I talent aside, and I know sometimes it's hard to put talent aside, but morals and ethics certainly do have to come into account when you're talking about bringing in a guy. But De'Aaron King, there's no question, is a very talented guy and has created an awkward and sticky situation for the University of Houston. All right, we'll be back coming up next. This is ESPN Upstate. Matt Harrod filling in for Sturge.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Matt Hare back in with you, straight up with Sturge. Subbing in here on ESPN Upstate, 844-477-3776. I understand we have a special guest on the line, which we'll get to here in a second.
Depends on how you use the word special.
How would you use the word special?
With air quotes. Special.
He's a good guy. I'm excited to talk to him. But first, that's quite the tease. Everyone's locked in. Who's the guest? Who do we have on the line? All right, but first, I was just listening to that ESPN update, and I did want to talk about this during the show. Didn't have time to get to it because we had so much to talk about today. But the NFL did propose a 17-game schedule. We do have Thursday Night Football tonight, Philadelphia Eagles and the Green Bay Packers. 17-game schedule. The NFL owners looking to back down from that 18-game schedule that they proposed. Now, the proposal that is current right now is paired with a reduction in the preseason games by two. The current CBA does expire in 2020. I have said this for a while. I think the NFL should consider having a 17-game schedule with two byes. I am in favor of the NFL having two byes in their schedule. And the reason being injuries, just burnout situations. I think it's a higher probability. Like, the NFL is such a violent sport. Just the idea of recovering, I'm for that. Okay, and to have a separate bye week in there, an extra bye week in there, is something that I think would be beneficial to both the teams and the owners. Okay, I think the athletes would want that more. Okay, three preseason games. Now, I don't know. Did I hear in that update they were thinking of eliminating like all of the preseason games? I was trying to listen. I was kind of half hearing. I am not in favor of eliminating the preseason at all. I do think the preseason is necessary, and I think at least three preseason games specifically is necessary because you have so many guys. I have been to NFL training camps and just you see like battles mid training camp a little bit. The guys are trying to make a team. Guys are trying to get jobs, and the preseason is really what determines who's going to be my third running back, right? Who's going to be my fourth defensive back? That stuff is important specifically in such an injury-riddled sport. You need to know who those guys are going to be. And so the preseason is important. However, I do understand players who are coming in and saying, okay, hey, look, if we are talking about changing what's happening in the CBA over the next couple of years, again, it expires in 2020, if we're going to have a 17-game regular season, if we're going to have an 18-game regular season, we're going to need to larger piece of the pie. I totally understand the NFL players from that point of view, because then the collective bargaining agreement, I mean, we've heard Richard Sherman talk about it. NFL players, for the most part, are not happy with what's going on right now. I mean, just look at how many holdouts we have. What I also do find interesting, by the way, Melvin Gordon is coming back. I heard that in the update as well. We are seeing a trend now with really two positions in the NFL holding out. And that's running back and defensive linemen. Running backs with Le'Veon Bell, Melvin Gordon. I do think that the value of a running back is less than the value of a wide receiver. Running backs, to me, are more replaceable. And I think that Melvin Gordon coming back today is kind of him realizing that. I look no further than what happened last year with the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Pittsburgh Steelers, and we will get to our special guest on the line here in a second, but the Pittsburgh Steelers, okay, last year said, no Le'Veon Bell. We are not going to give you all of this money. Sure, thank you for your service. We used you so much, 30 to 35 carries a game. We're not going to give you your money because guess what? We drafted a guy named James Conner who went to the University of Pittsburgh when we kind of like him. Are you going to be Le'Veon Bell? Probably not. But guess what? James Conner was pretty darn good yesterday. Melvin Gordon coming back today, I think, is him realizing that the running back position is just down in value. And in order for him to prove himself and to get a contract that he wants, he's got to be on the field. He's got to be productive. He's got to show that he can still play. Because guess what? The Chargers, Austin Eckler, is having a pretty darn good year for Los Angeles. He's a tough runner. I like watching Austin Eckler run the football. So Melvin Gordon, I actually, you know, he was stingy. He did, but it did not work. He did not do what Le'Veon Bell did and go through with this whole holdout process. So what's going to go on with the CBA, the reason why I bring both of those things up at the same time is because the CBA expires in 2020. And so we're really going to have a couple of interesting things happen regarding the collective bargain agreement. And one of them obviously is going to be if the schedule, the regular season, gets moved up to 17 games or 18 games in the NFL. All right, let's get to the line. 844-477-3776. We were talking about D.R. King in the last segment. Mark Ryan is on the line. Mark Ryan, who brought me in to do this show today, which I really appreciate. He was in Houston. Covered Houston sports for a while. I did not get your opinion or hear your opinion on the D'Eriq King situation. Obviously, this is big going on in college sports. Where do you stand on this, Mark?
Well, first of all, I feel like I'm wearing a T-shirt right now that says I'm special. So this is wonderful. I feel like a very special person coming on with you. You guys are sounding really, really good together, Matt. You're doing an outstanding job.
Thank you.
If I can, I'd like to touch on what you just said.
Yeah.
Melvin Gordon lost the holdout, right? And I feel like in every holdout situation, there's a winner and a loser, and I don't think we talk about that enough. We need to honor the winners and the losers of this the same way we do in boxing. Raise the hand of the victor. The victor here is the Los Angeles Chargers. They won. Melvin Gordon lost.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. He has no leverage. They're fine without him. The running back position takes a bit of a dip, but they've proven that they don't absolutely, positively have to have him. They could have used him last week against the Texans, but he's got no leverage in today's day and age. The difference between a great running back and a good running back is nominal at best, right? Look what the Texans are getting away with right now. So there you go. That's how I feel about that. Melvin Gordon lost the holdout. And for some reason, we don't put the egg on his face. I think the egg should be on his face right now. You lost, man. You displayed, and no one bought what you were saying, right? So anyway, that's how I see that. D'Eriq King, man, I heard you saying, hey, what did Mark Ryan say about this?
Yeah.
It was the NCAA's oh bleep moment, Matt, because I don't think they're very smart, generally, and I don't think they even ever considered somebody might do this, right? Like, oh my God, wait a minute. Somebody's going to say the season's sucking. Let's do it over. Let's press the old school Nintendo reset button and just run it back. I didn't think they thought anyone would do this, man. Scarcity creates demand in life and in college football, and scarcity is what makes college football great. What he's doing blows. It's great for him. It blows for college football because that's what makes college football special, is that you don't get to do it over, is that each and every year is its own story, and fans remember these games for life. You don't get a mulligan in college football. The beauty of every game mattering and each game of the regular season being a playoff game. I can't tell you how much this sucks that he's able to run it back.
Yeah.
I don't get it at all. There's an easy fix here for me, Matt. You just require a medical redshirt.
Let me ask you this, though, Mark. Mark, let me jump in here. Do you blame D'Eriq King? I understand the system is set up where it's clearly a loophole. D'Eriq King is taking advantage of a loophole. But if you're D'Eriq King, you're looking at your brand, you're looking at your own personal interests. People take advantage in life all the time of loopholes because systems are in place. I know it sucks. I know what you're saying. But if you're D'Eriq King, do you blame him?
I heard what Diesel says, and I'm kind of on that, kind of on the he quit on his team thing. At the same time, it's very clearly what's best for him. So it's kind of a fine line there, Matt. It's kind of, you know, it's what's best for him. He's screwing over his team. It's a loophole. I am known to see the line, to step over the line, if it's a loophole that benefits me in my life. I've done that before. You've done that before. Do I get it? Yes, I get it. I hate it for the sport. You don't get a mulligan in college. Can you imagine if you played your rival one of the first few games of the year? You lose to the rival. Hey, you know what? I'd like another chance at Michigan if I'm Ohio State. I'm in a redshirt this year. I didn't get to beat Michigan. Can you imagine if Peyton Manning got a fifth chance to beat Florida?
Yeah.
Because they played Florida the third game of the year? You don't get a fifth chance to play Florida. Florida, you were 0-4. You're 0-4. You got to deal with that for the rest of your life. Scarcity creates demand. You don't get a mulligan in college football. Every game is a playoff, and that's what makes college football unique. That's what makes it special. Yours truly and college football will wear our I Am Special T-shirts together.
There he is. Mark Ryan at Offside. Hey, Mark, I hate to hang up on you because you brought me here, but thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it.
No, no. Great job.
You know, I think Mark would agree with me that I don't think you blame De'Aaron King in this situation. He outlined it. You blame the NCAA for allowing a loophole like this where someone can take advantage of it.
Well, I can't believe the NCAA doesn't have a team of people just coming up with scenarios of, all right, here's how this rule could be applied. Everybody thinks, oh, they're going to stick to the spirit of the rule because everybody's good people. No.
Diesel, do you really not believe that? I believe that that is possible in the NCAA office, that there is that kind of stupidity. I'm saying I
absolutely believe there's that stupidity, and I can't believe they don't have somebody whose job it is to sit here and come up with ways of, all right, here, how could people try to circumvent this rule in the future, and how can we write into the rules, ways to eliminate as many of those as we can.
But what I'm, and you're 100% right on that, I guess what I'm saying is don't blame the athlete. Don't blame De'Aaron King for being able to find the loophole and look out for his own personal interest. I actually kind of, in a sort of dirty, slimy, I don't really like it kind of way, credit him a little bit. It's bad for college sports. But he did not, he looked at the situation I don't know if I should be criticizing his character. I'm still trying to figure it out if I should be criticizing his character or if I should be really criticizing the NCAA for allowing this loophole.
Why not?
Yeah, I guess you can do both.
You really can do both. You know, and he said it, Mark said it's a fine line situation. But both are true. Both. Everybody always wants to say it's got to be one thing or the other. It's got to be black or white. It's got to be A or B. There's no gray in the middle. Well, I'm sorry. Life has gray in the middle, and there's so much gray area with this situation. And you know, again, am I upset at him for being smart enough to come up with a rule? That's almost like saying, I wasn't really speeding in a school zone. It's because I had bigger tires on my truck and I never really recalibrated the speedometer. So I didn't know that I was speeding. It's faulty equipment. It's not my fault I was speeding. It's faulty equipment.
That's a good metaphor. All right, let's wrap up the show when we come back. This is Straight Up with Sturge, Matt Harrah filling in on ESPN Upstate. All right, I'll be filling in tomorrow here on ESPN Upstate. I really appreciate all the calls today. Our final tally for our poll question here. Would South Carolina fans sacrifice every game the rest of the season if it guaranteed Will Muschamp would be fired? I've been called a putz today by a texter for even proposing that this would be a possibility to fire Will Muschamp in the middle of the season. 47% of you say yes, I would sacrifice every game the rest of the season if a guaranteed Muschamp would be fired. 47%. 53% of you say no, I want my team to win. And I understand both answers. I understand the frustration for South Carolina Gamecock fans wanting them gone after a 1-3 start, but I also understand wanting to root for your team. All right, I just got a text from my girlfriend saying that we just got a puppy here, Diesel, and she just said he did it again. He pooped on the carpet. Do you have a dog? I've never had a dog before. Okay, so I'm still, maybe we should feed this dog Diesel. Should we put Diesel, gasoline? What did we decide Diesel is? Is it gasoline, right? Diesel?
No, it's not gasoline, but it is fuel.
So if I put fuel in his water cup, do you think he would stop pooping on the carpet?
No, I think he'd probably kill it. Technically he would stop pooping on the carpet because he'd be dead.
Oh, no. I don't want that. I just want the pooping to stop on the carpet. That's all I want. Is that too much to ask? Is it really too much to ask that I just want my dog to understand when I snap and point? We got a nice little patch of AstroTurf that my girlfriend's father just built, this like life-size human chess set. Like they have life-size like chess figures that they in the backyard. And so they put AstroTurf down so they could, you know, build the chess set. And so he had extra. So he gave us a little bit of turf so we could, because the dog, we don't want him going outside just yet. He's like just 8 weeks old. His name's Bo. And we said, okay, Bo's going to be able to do what he has to do in the apartment. It's going to be perfect. He's a puppy. We don't have to take him aside. We're going to just put this turf right on the ground. He ignores the turf. We snap it and we say, and he's just like, you know what he does? He goes to chew it. Now, I've never had a dog in my life. Okay, but I if this is what a preview of babyism is going to be, that's not a word, what having a baby is going to be, I don't know if I'm for that, man. I'm really not. Like, this is, I am up all night. I am literally, to do this show today, I had two monsters and I had two coffees before. I am up all night. This dog just keeps whining and whining. I don't know what to do. And it sounds like you have no suggestions.
We just got a cat. We just got a cat that's like 6 months old. Does the same thing. At least he's smart enough to go poop in a box of sand.
Oh, maybe we should have gotten a cat. I don't know. All right. This has been fun. Diesel Fuel. Good to do a show with you, man. We'll do it again tomorrow. Matt Harrod filling in for Sturge on ESPN Upstate.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.